Seeing as how we will be celebrating the sacrament this morning, we'll be turning to a reading from Mark chapter 14 this morning. Mark 14, beginning in verse 12. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us." So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them. And they prepared the Passover. In the evening he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me." And they began to be sorrowful, and to say to him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" He answered and said to them, "It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it was written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the word of our Lord. Well, beloved, the passage we just read finds Jesus and his disciples celebrating a Passover meal together. This particular Passover was monumental. For about 1,500 years, ever since the time of the Exodus, Passover had been celebrated regularly by the Jews. But this now finally was the last Passover, for it marked the end of the Old Covenant era and the dawning of the new. It was the final Passover. It was the first communion. Our Lord himself made this transition, taking some of the components of the last Passover and redefining them as the elements of his supper. And in doing this, he brought three basic truths to our attention. He said, first of all, that this meal speaks of covenant. It speaks of covenant. Now, how does the idea of covenant relate to Jesus saying, "This is my body, this is my blood"? Well, it begins with a right understanding of the Passover meal, which was eaten to remember that great historical event we read about earlier in the book of Exodus, the event in which God delivered the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. The events in which lambs were slain and blood was sprinkled on the doorposts and lintels of the homes of Jewish slaves in Egypt to protect the firstborn in those homes from the curse of death. It's about the fourth or fifth time I've said lintels this morning. I just want to explain that. A door is framed with doorposts on either side, and then the lintel was the door, was the piece of wood typically over the door. So that's what that means, the lintel, the doorposts, and all three were covered with blood, the blood of the Passover lamb. When the avenging angel came to execute God's judgment in Egypt, he passed over those homes where the lamb's blood was thus displayed. And thereafter, Passover became a commemoration of that one-time salvation event when God made a provision for lambs to be slain instead of the people of God to be slain. Wherever the blood of the lamb was displayed, the curse of God was removed, and the people of God were released from their bondage. When you skip forward in the biblical account, all the way forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you find Paul telling us in verse 7 of that chapter that Christ is our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. What the apostle means by that is that the original celebration of Passover, killing lambs and putting blood on the doorposts and lintels, and the angel of death passing over, and God blessing his people, delivering them from the curse of death, releasing them from their bondage and their captivity. All of that, Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaks of Jesus. It points to Jesus Christ. It points to the coming of the Lamb of God. As John the Baptist declares when he saw Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus is the ultimate Passover lamb that was slain. Through faith in him, he is our personal substitute. He is our sin bearer. He is the one who took away the curse of death. He took that curse upon himself. He endured it on our behalf. And we receive the blessing of eternal life and deliverance from our bondage to sin. For the Jews, eating the Passover lamb meant participation in the benefits of the lamb's death and protection from the curse of God's judgment. It meant that the people of God were bound together, that they were all united under the protection of the one lamb and were released from their bondage. And as Jesus taught us in the supper, the bread and the wine now symbolize the signs and the seals of a new covenant. Not the bloody signs and seals of the old covenant, which were circumcision and Passover, but now the bloodless signs and seals of the new covenant, baptism and the supper. Because the blood of the true Lamb of God, the ultimate Passover, has now been shed once and for all for our salvation, for our redemption, for our deliverance. All the Jewish blood sacrifices pointed forward to the coming of the Lamb of God, the one who died on the cross to take away our sins. And so we have no more need of bloody rituals. Christ was the once-for-all sacrifice for our sins. Instead, God has given us the symbols of common, everyday blessings, water, bread, and wine, which now symbolize the ratification of a covenant God has made with his people, a promise Christ has made to bear the awful curse of sin and death on our behalf and to grant us blessings instead. There are no curses for us today who trust in Christ. There are no threatenings of God's law that can plunge us into eternal judgment, because Christ has died on our behalf. In the upper room, through this symbolic ritual, Jesus was teaching his disciples that he was ratifying a new covenant with them, a covenant signed and sealed in his blood. Jesus was about to give his life as a ransom for many, and the judgment and the curse of the broken covenant that had formerly fallen on the lambs of the Passover, he would now take upon himself once and for all time. As our Passover lamb, he was preparing to suffer the curse of death that we deserved, so that God can rain blessings on us instead of curses. Later that night, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of judgment, this cup of wrath, this cup that represents God's justice, the holiness of God against sin, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. That's from Matthew 26, verse 39. The Lord drank from that cup of wrath so that we don't have to drink of it. What do we drink instead? We share together a cup of blessing, a cup of covenant love, the cup of covenant faithfulness, the cup that says to us, your sins are forgiven. The cup that says, you are now a child of God. The cup that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Because Jesus drank the cup of the fury of God's wrath, we now drink of the cup of blessing. That was the cup that Jesus gave to his disciples as he himself prepared to enter into the darkness of the night, into the darkness of Gethsemane, to the horrors of the cross. In presenting the Lord's Supper, Jesus revealed he was about to endure the curse of the covenant that you and I broke, so that you and I, by his grace and mercy, through faith in him, can receive the blessings of the new covenant. This is a meal that speaks of covenant, of curses suffered, of blessings promised. It's an eternal covenant, a covenant that can't be broken, a covenant that can't be undone. You know, in the Old Testament, it says often that God divorced Israel. But unlike the Old Covenant, there is no divorce from this covenant because it was sealed in the blood of Christ. And this is why we say that the Lord's Supper is a meal that speaks of covenant. Secondly, the supper speaks of fellowship. It speaks of fellowship, participation, union, and communion with Jesus Christ. Paul reflected on that reality in 1 Corinthians 10 when he wrote, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion, the fellowship, the sharing of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion, the fellowship, the sharing of the body of Christ? We don't commune with inanimate objects. We don't commune with a piece of bread or a cup of wine. We commune with a living person represented in those symbols. And the true communion, the true fellowship of this supper, of which the bread and wine are symbols, is between us and Jesus himself. Do this in remembrance of me, said Jesus. This was consistent, of course, with the former meal of Passover in which the people of God were to remember the story. When they took that Passover meal every year, they were called to remember God's redemptive purpose, to remember the great deliverance that God had accomplished for God's people in the Exodus. So this supper, like that one, is a meal of remembrance, of commemoration. But the Lord's Supper is more than that, according to Scripture, more than a remembrance. It's also a communion, a fellowship, a personal relationship with the one whom the symbols represent. It's a fellowship in the sense that the bread that we eat and the wine that we drink, all of that represents our fellowship and communion with Christ himself. We feed upon him. We draw our nourishment, our strength, our encouragement from him. Our strength, our vitality is his. We are in union with him. And that's the glory of our salvation. That when God sent his son, he sent him in flesh and blood. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send a ghost, as some false teachers taught in the early days of the church. He sent a human being, someone just like you and me, except for sin, a flesh and blood man. And in the supper, we commune with Christ, who is still flesh and blood in heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father. The humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ forever in perfect union at the right hand of God. In the supper, it's not so much that Jesus is coming down here. The idea is that we are being lifted up into God's presence, where Jesus is, to commune with Him, to fellowship with Him. So it's with Jesus that we commune. This is my body. This is my blood. We're to think of Him. We're to fill our minds and our hearts with Jesus. All of that is according to the mysterious work of the Holy Spirit in the Lord's Supper, enabling us by His power and His energy to feed on Christ, to be strengthened within, to remember that in heaven we have one who knows our frame, that we are but dust, but provides this meal to strengthen our souls for the difficulties of our pilgrim journey. As we go on through the trials and difficulties of this life, we have one who has been there before us, one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, one who suffered in our place. The disciples ate this Passover meal in the presence of Christ. They didn't think as they ate the bread and as they drank the cup that something mysterious was taking place with the elements of the bread and the wine. No, it was to Jesus that they pointed, and it was to Jesus that the Lord Himself told them to meditate upon. So the meal of bread and wine speaks of communion and participation, union with Christ. When Jesus died, we died. When Jesus rose from the dead, we rose from the dead. When Jesus ascended, we also ascended. When Jesus was seated at the right hand of God, we also were seated in heavenly places, just as Paul tells us. That is the glory and the beauty of this meal, beloved, that we have a triumphant Lord, one who has conquered death, conquered the grave, conquered Satan and hell, and ever lives to make intercession for us in heaven. This is the one we remember and commune with at the table. So the supper speaks of covenant, it speaks of communion, and finally it speaks of consummation. Jesus said something quite amazing at the point where the disciples would have typically drunk the fourth Passover cup. There were four cups of wine presented in the Passover meal. And right at the point where they would have all normally have drunk from that fourth Passover cup, the Lord says something very unusual. He says, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Among all the other things that were shocking the disciples at this very moment, this one might have been the most amazing thing He said. Beloved, as important as it is to recognize that the supper looks back to the cross and how it looks now to also to Christ who is presently in heaven, it's no less important to realize that the supper also looks forward in redemptive history. Jesus told His disciples that He would voluntarily refrain from drinking wine until a set time in the future. As Jesus said, kind of enigmatically, He said He would not drink again of the cup until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. You know, when you compare Christ's statements with other statements He made in the Gospels, it's clear He was referencing the kingdom of God in its consummation. That is, the time when the kingdom will be completed, when it will be finalized, when it will fill the earth with the glory of God. Jesus was looking forward to the day when He would return in glory, looking past the cross, past the intervening age, to that final day when He would come again to judge the world, to end all opposition to His authority, to usher his people into the full inheritance, the full experience of his kingdom. As Jesus told us in Matthew 13, on that day, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then he says, the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Matthew 13:43. This is when the Father's kingdom will be completed, when it will be consummated. On the day when Jesus is once again physically present with his people to eat and drink with them. On the day when the lawless will be judged forever in hell. On the day when all the redeemed from all ages will be resurrected to reign forever with Christ. On the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. That is when Jesus will resume drinking the fruit of the vine in glory at the completion of his Father's kingdom. You see, beloved, in this Last Supper, even as it's commemorating and remembering a past supper, it's also looking forward to a future supper. The great messianic banquet that was the hope of the Old Testament prophets. That great banquet that will be celebrated at the return of Christ from heaven. Matthew 25:10. We've been studying about this recently in our Wednesday night study. Revelation 19:9 refers to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That great day when all the saints will thunder their praises to the Lamb. The supper Jesus celebrated, the supper we're about to receive together, beloved, points us forward to that future banquet, to the consummation, the completeness of our salvation in Christ, to that day when we will stand together before him with perfect bodies, bodies that will never suffer again, bodies that will never experience pain or sorrow again. It calls us to look forward to that day in hope, to the consummation of our salvation in Christ, to the fulfillment of everything we're hoping for in him. And so as we receive the bread and the wine today, let's remember that it's a meal that speaks of a new covenant, sealed by the blood of Jesus, that he is the Passover. It is a meal that speaks of communion with the risen Jesus in heaven. And it is a meal that speaks of consummation, the future fulfillment of all the kingdom promises when Christ returns from heaven. May our hearts be lifted up with thankfulness today for the Lord's wonderful grace to us. Let's pray.